I want to say thank you to the church for coming along and blessing the people this last year throughout. But as I started fasting January 1st, a lot of times we walk into things and we're like, oh man, this is going to be great. I'm going to have a lot of fun time with God. Now sometimes He starts revealing things in our lives. I'm like, Lord, do I really have to deal with that? Can't we just put that aside, and can't we deal with it when it's a little bit warmer out? When I can eat some food? When the situation is just right, you know, it's just like the three little bears, you know, Goldilocks, and she was always looking for just the right chair, the right porch, the right bed. And it's always the middle child who lost out, or the only child. And the thing about it is that when we start drawing closer to God, this is outside of fasting, this is within fasting, this is just in life in general. When we start desiring to draw closer to God, it's like an onion. He starts peeling away things. And sometimes it's things that we don't want to deal with. Things that might be emotional, might have been relationships that's gone south, or decisions that you made years ago, and God's like, okay, now it's time to deal with them. And that's a healthy place to be, because as you draw closer to God, he wants you to be as close to him as possible. And sometimes he allows us to go through things to see how good he really is. Even if it's as bad as it looks. It might look awful right now. I mean, 2026 might not start out great for you. Or 2025 might not end great for you. It might look horrible. But I guarantee you one thing, God is faithful. And now he knows what's going on. And he wants to walk in that situation and walk with you. He doesn't want to be just a God that's far from you. But he wants to be the God that's close to you. He wants to walk next to you. He wants to walk beside you. He doesn't want to just walk in front of you. He will do that to show you the way. He also will walk behind you. He's your rear guard to protect you. But he also will walk beside you to say, hey, I will carry you when you are weak. I was talking to somebody earlier this week, or a couple weeks ago, I don't remember. You know, you get these couple weeks of holidays, Christmas and New Year. You ever feel like you lose a couple days? Or somehow it's like, yeah, what day it is again? Like Friday felt like a Monday. And I don't know. So I don't know when. But I was talking to this person, and they go, man, I'm just struggling. And they started sharing a few things. I'm like, it's all right. God's still faithful. God is still faithful. You know, because when he's faithful, and knowing that he won't leave you nor forsake you, because I think we all have had a friend that has left us in a time of need. Like maybe they moved, maybe the relationship went south or sour or something like that. Maybe you had that relationship and you're like, man, God's still faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you mess up, even when you hurt his feelings, even when you disobey, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You get to choose to be close to him as possible, as much as you want. And so, I want to encourage you with that as we head into our sermon. But I want to encourage you to if you haven't signed up for fasting, and maybe you say, well, I'm on medicine, I can't fast. I get that, I understand that. Fast something else then. Maybe fast the Vikings and Packer game. Right, Jerry? Maybe not. No, I'm just joking. But fast something. Give up something. And during that time, seek God. It doesn't always have to be food. Especially if you're on medicine and all that. I get all that. But give up something for God. And say, God, I want to draw closer to you. I want to be so close to you. Because in 2026, I want to draw closer and closer and closer to God. And when you draw closer to something, you got to get rid of stuff. Just like when I started dating my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time. When I started dating Denise, I had to forsake, even at that time, stop pursuing other ladies. Why? Because I wanted to spend more time and more time and more time. And that's just like with God. When we want to desire to spend more time with Him, we will start forsaking some of these things that we thought was valuable. And God goes, I'm more than enough. And so I want to encourage you. Our verse for this year is found in Luke chapter 1. And let me find it here. It's verse 45. It goes, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what He said." We can make that our own. I am blessed because I believe that the Lord would do what He said. Think about that. I am blessed, not because I have a mansion, not because I have a car, not because I have 1,000 likes on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. I am blessed because I believe, what do I believe? That God's going to do what He said He's going to do. So what has He told you He's going to do? Believe that and you will be blessed. Do you believe that the Word of God is going to do what it says it's going to do? You'll be blessed. Because when you put action and faith together, you get great and powerful results. I believe, I am blessed because I believe what the Lord said He's going to do, He's going to do. And guess what? He's going to do it for me. I am blessed. All right. I believe you are at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If not, like I said, we'll have it up here on the screen. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to be looking at the first 5 verses. And so let's go. It goes, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you to do." Verse 5. "May the Lord lead your hearts into full understanding and expression of the love of God and patient endurance that come from Christ." So as Paul wraps up his letter here, he goes, hey, we'd love some prayer. And so many times we'll ask people for prayer for health, which is a good thing, for wisdom, which is a great thing, for this thing or for that thing. But Paul doesn't go into prayer for just himself. He goes in, he asks for prayer that the word of the Lord will go out quickly. You think about it, that should be one of our prayers. Hey, Lord, that your word would go quickly. And we'll see what that means here in a few moments. That his word, the Lord, would run swiftly and be glorified. In other words, it would spread quickly. It would grab legs and it would move quickly throughout the land. Paul's whole thing is, Lord, move quickly in those cities. Move quickly. Then it says, be glorified, that it will become manifest and acknowledged. Remember when Jesus spoke, he goes, where my kingdom is preached, there will be evidence. See, that's what Paul's saying. When his word goes out, there should be physical manifestations of his word working in our lives. And when it's working in our life, we'll be more apt to tell people. And the more people we tell, the more working. It's like a little snowball you keep rolling to make a snowman. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The more you do what God's called you to do, the quicker his word goes, the more manifestation you have. And I'm not just talking about physical healings and things like that. I'm talking about just in your life. How about he just shows up all of a sudden and like, wow, I said something nice to that person. I haven't done that in years. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I try to be gentle. Self-control. I needed some of that this morning. Crazy car. And other things. But the thing about it is that you see the Holy Spirit manifesting, working quickly. Because the thing about it, sometimes you don't see the Holy Spirit working in you, but other people do. It's so awesome to see God working in people's lives, and they're starting to move from closer to God and closer to God and closer to God, because the Holy Spirit is moving quickly. The Word of God is moving quickly. When he moves quickly, there's manifestations in your life that takes place, like such as the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I'd rather have the fruit of the Spirit over the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work. Because I'd rather have people loving, people being gentle, than people being mean and having a healing. Because guess what? Mean people are not nice to hang out with. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Paul actually mentions it. And so here he is. He goes, pray for these things. Pray that they will be manifested in my life. Pray that they be manifested in our ministry. See, if you want to pray for us, here's a few things you can pray. That the word of the Lord would run swiftly through my family. And there'll be manifestation of his Holy Spirit in my life, my wife's life, my kids' life, my parents' life, Denise's family, my family, our extended family. I want the manifestation of God's as Aurora goes to work, that it would be manifested there. All these different things. When we pray that God would move quickly and he would manifest in our lives so we can make a change in our lives. And then he continues. He goes, oh yeah, could you pray this too? That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. I believe Paul is not talking about the world here, people in general. I believe he's talking about the church, the people in the church. I guarantee you, we all have met some people in our life who are unreasonable in the church. It's their way or nobody's way. Well, if they're, I'm not going to get my way, I'm not going to pay my tithes. Unreasonable. Well, if I don't get to pick out the color of the carpet, I'm not going to support that program. And those teenagers, if they mess up the carpet one more time with spilled soda, I'm unreasonable. Sometimes we get so unreasonable in the church that we think it's our building, our church, ours. In all actuality, who's the head of the church? It's Jesus's. It's Jesus's church. Whatever he wants to do, if he wants teenagers to come in and have a fun time and their soda spilled, praise God, they're hearing the word of God. See, so many times we get unreasonable. Wow, if they don't play the songs I like. You know, I think we all know what YouTube is by now. There's songs on there too. It's okay to listen to your special songs on there. It's okay. No one's going to say, oh, don't listen to that Western country Christian music. It's not my favorite. I'm not really into trios and all those things. Some of you guys are. You just love that stuff. Enjoy it. We all have our preferences. But when it comes into the church, we have to leave our preference behind and say, what do you want, Holy Spirit? What would you like to do in this place? I take my hands off. Every week I wake up, I go, Lord, it's your week. Every time we gather Wednesdays and Sundays and Sunday nights, I go, Lord, it's yours. Every time I sit down and study and figure out the direction God wants to go, I'm like, Lord, it's your service. I have no agenda. If I have an agenda, forgive me. Remove me out of the place. See, sometimes we can be so unreasonable. How about in other relationships, even outside of the church with other people? Well, if they don't call me back in 5 minutes, I'm done. If they don't pay me back, I'm done with them. They're unreasonable. What if they're using a restroom or something? They can't get to you right away. Be patient. Be unreasonable. I know somebody who literally got kicked out of the hospital because they were being unreasonable. They got rid of them as quickly as they could. Because even though we all know hospitals are well-staffed, the best nurses in the world is always at our beck and call. You know, we hit that button once and they just come running like 4 or 5. Okay, probably not. Most of the time, hospitals are short-staffed and they're high drainage. And so when they do finally get there, it's like, you might have to call a little bit earlier. But so many times, like, well, they're unreasonable. And then it says, when it says delivered, it means be taken away. Sometimes God won't take away certain things. He wants us to grow through them, help us. But sometimes subtraction is a good thing. He goes, deliver us, the unreasonable and wicked people. And it also means morally perverted, evil, wicked, bad, malicious. So wickedness means they have malicious intent. Think about that. Their intent is not to be nice. Their intent to be mean. You ever met somebody who seems like everything they do is just downright mean? Usually there's probably been a hurt they haven't dealt with a lot of times. But one thing, you ever notice somebody that they're older and they have a sign on their grass, keep off the grass, you know, like, oh, you young whippersnappers, I'm going to get you. We had a neighbor in Janesville like that. That if you went even on close on his property, even on his driveway, he got upset. Remember that? He had a nice paved driveway. He wouldn't let anybody play on it. I'm like, dude, you've got the nicest driveway in the city. You should be celebrating this thing. But he was like, stay off! Because there was something that took place. God wanted to heal. But rather than being healed, he got grumpy. So sometimes when you're grumpy, you have to step back and say, why am I grumpy? Like this morning, I had to say, why am I grumpy? I'm like, man, I need more sleep. I need more food, but that will come eventually. You know, you wake up and you expect the car to start and it doesn't. It's never fun. But we got here. See, malicious. Some people are just downright malicious. They're downright mean. And they're in the church, too. They have one hand praising God and the other hand. They're like, ooh, how can I get revenge? How can I get them on my side? How can I persuade them to follow me? Church splits are always because of these two things. People are unreasonable and people are wicked. And Paul says, for not all have faith. I believe he's talking about the church. Not everyone that walks into the church loves Jesus. They might have a form of godliness. They might have a form of this or that. But Paul is saying, hey, not everybody I associate with in the church is nice. I wish they were. I wish I was nice. Most of the time I am. But the thing about it is that I'm not malicious. I'm not trying to plot anybody's demise. My goal is to get people closer to God. My desire is to see people grow. But when we don't have faith to say, hey, I think the preacher might be onto something. But I don't like what he says. I don't like the tone he uses. I don't like the way he dresses. He dresses funny. It's all right. Close your eyes. But then verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. Think about it. Paul just said, hey, pray for us these couple things. But no matter what, he's saying, the Lord is still faithful. The Lord is faithful. Think about it. You're going through a rotten time in life. The Lord's still faithful. You're going through a relationship that's just strained. The Lord is faithful. You've made some bad choices. The Lord is faithful. You're on the verge of bankruptcy, out of your control. The Lord is still faithful. Your car didn't start this morning. The Lord is still faithful. You're hungry. The Lord is still faithful. You look in the cupboard. Where's the food? The Lord is still faithful. You look in the cupboard. There's tons of food. The Lord is still faithful. You start the car and there's tons of gas in it. The Lord is still faithful. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're walking through, and no matter what 2026 brings, the Lord is faithful. And I'm going to guarantee you, keep verse Luke 45 in your heart. I am blessed because I believe in what the Lord has said. When we can say, I am blessed because of this, and not because the economy is going good, not because of this or this or this, not because I have a shelter over my head. I am blessed because God is faithful to his word, and he's going to be faithful to his word forever and ever and ever. We sang a song that the Lord wants to bless us and our children and our children and our children and our children, children, children. The Lord wants to bless. He's a blessing God. He's a God that wants truly to bless. That's the reason why he's faithful. Even your dreams don't work out. Even if they've just been shattered for 2026, you thought you had something, and all of a sudden the life is shattered. The Lord is still faithful, and he still wants to bless you. He's not up there looking, how can I hammer them over the head? He's up there looking, how can I bless them? See, it says the Lord's eyes go through and flow through the earth, not to see who's sinning or who's doing rotten, dirty things. He's looking, who can I bless today? Whose church can I bless? Whose am I going to bless today? The Lord's looking to bless. He's looking to give life and the life abundantly. The devil's up there giving us curses. The devil doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want a marriage to succeed. He doesn't want the church to succeed. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to have health. He wants you to be walking with your head low and say, oh. He wants you to be grumpy. He wants you to tell everybody, get off my grass. You put out the sign to the man that says, no one's welcome. Go away. No, we should have a man out. All is welcome. Enjoy. It's a party in here. Even for us introverts, it's okay. And so here he is. Even if it doesn't work out, God is faithful and he wants to take care of you. And he goes, but the Lord is faithful. Who will establish you? In other words, he'll strengthen you. When you are weak, he'll strengthen you. Where there's gaps in your armor, he wants to fill that in. He wants to establish you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to set firmly. He wants you. What do we establish ourselves in? The news? I hope not. Conspiracies? There's one for every second out there. What does he want us to set ourselves in? The truth. What's the truth? God's word. God's word is the truth. That's what we set ourselves in. That's how we are blessed. When we set ourselves in God's word. When we pick up God's word first. When we seek God first. He strengthens us. He wants to set us firmly. Establish us in his word. When we're established in his word. It doesn't matter what storm comes. I'm not rooting for storms. Trust me. I like clear weather. I love it's about 72 degrees, sunshine, a little humidity, not too much, you know, and a slight gentle breeze by a lake with a fishing pole. And if the fish aren't biting, I'm okay still. But yet, if that doesn't happen, I'm okay with snowy roads and icy streets because God's faithful. But we're established in his word. And then he goes on, he goes, establish you, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to guard you. Think about it. He's going to guard you. This is the last week of football before the playoff. A quarterback is only good as his front five linemen. If the front five linemen are horrible, the quarterback will be horrible. And if you watched any of the games the last couple years, there's a guy named Sam Darnold. He got drafted by the Jets, number like in the top five. Supposed to be this great quarterback. He was with the Jets, I think, the first 3 years. He was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Downright horrible. People say he's a wash, he's a bust. And then from there, he went to Carolina. He stayed there for a year. Didn't go well. Then he went to San Fran. Didn't play at all, really, if I remember right. But he learned. And then he came from San Fran up to Minnesota. He won 13 games. How in the world? This guy who's supposed to be a bust won 13 games. And then Minnesota let him go. And he went to Seattle. And then he won another, I think, 13 games now. There was only one other quarterback who's won 2 years of 13 games straight. Does anybody know the other quarterback? Tom Brady. All right? But Sam Darnold is the first person to do it with two separate teams. The thing about it with that, you know what New York Jets and the Carolina Panthers had in common? Their team stunk. Their linemen were horrible. Their receivers couldn't catch. All right? So it's good. And now he went to San Fran. He got Tulich. Then he came to Minnesota. Minnesota has tons of weapons. Their line was kind of shaky. But then he went to Seattle. Just kept on blowing up. Why? Because he had the pieces around him. He had people guarding him. Now he looks like a superstar. I could play quarterback for some of those teams. Probably not, though.
But the thing about it is that God will guard us. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to let anything through.
Well, what if something bad happens? Yeah. God's still faithful, isn't he? He hasn't walked out on you. There's a scripture verse that says, my body's wasting away, but the spirit's getting stronger. I had somebody quote me that this week because of some stuff they're walking through. Body's wasting away. But this person I know whose body's wasting away, their spirit is so much stronger. Their faith is growing. And so the thing about it is that here he is.
God's a guard. He set us firmly in his word.
And when he set us firmly in his word, he goes, I guard you with my word. I'm going to guard you.
We can keep going back to his word. He'll guard us. He'll keep us safe. It doesn't mean always physically. Many times it means spiritually.
I'm not going to say hang on. As long as our faith is founded in the word of God. When our faith is seated in the truth,
he's got us. He'll guard us from the evil one. And, Paul continues, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we commanded you.
We'll look at what he commanded them next week. You ever give somebody advice and they said thank you, but you know it's good advice, you know it's healthy advice, but they don't take the advice? You know, the thing here,
sometimes God commands us to do things,
and we're like, oh, thanks for the suggestion, God. A lot of times we think his commands are just nice little suggestions because we don't fear God like we ought. We want God as a and I have nothing against this, as our Father, which he is, but he's still our Lord and Creator. And he tells us to do things.
We're like, well, Lord, I'll do that when it warms up. I've been processing running a marathon.
And I'm like, and I used to mock people who ran marathons. I'm like, how stupid do you have to be to run 26 miles for no reason? Then back in late November, God's like, I want you to start training for a marathon. I'm like, it's cold out. Don't you know, it's December, Lord. Late November, December. You know what happens in Minnesota, don't you? Maybe it's cold. You know, there's other ways to prep to run a marathon. And so I'm like, okay. So January 1st, I went and said, how do you run a marathon? Besides, put one foot in front of the other. I understand that. I get that. But how do you train? How do you go from sitting on the couch watching football to running a marathon? There's a program out there in 20 weeks. You literally can go from sitting on the couch to running a marathon. So anybody want to join? No takers?
David, I know you do. I'll drag my son with me. But our confidence is in God. But the thing about it, when he tells, it's not hey, I would like you to do this. No, it's like, I want you to do this.
Because when you do obey God's command, you're actually going to be an answer to somebody's prayer. You are an answer to somebody's prayer. Think about that, Ron. You're an answer to somebody's prayer. You're an answer to your wife's prayer. Lord, bring me a good man. And she got a great man. You know, we're all answered to a prayer. And so that's what, there's people in your life who are an answer to your prayer. Think about it. I'm an answer to this church prayer when you're looking for a pastor. Oh, Lord, bring us a pastor. You should have been a little bit more specific. But the thing about it, the Lord still answered. He was faithful.
And so he continues that we have confidence in the Lord that you'll do what we tell you. You'll do what the Lord tells you. Now, verse 5, we'll be wrapping up here in a few. Now may the Lord direct your hearts. In other words, may he guide you into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. May he guide you and direct you. In the morning when you wake up, Lord, guide my steps. Lord, let me make decisions that you'd be proud of. Let me do things that I can lay my head down at night and say, Lord, you were with me and I did not X, Y, Z. Lord, you were with me and I did this. I held open the door for this person. So many times we think it has to be big on stage. A lot of times, you know how you make somebody's life easier? Hold the door open for them. Give them a hug. Say hi. Be nice. You know, there's a reason why some places have better business than others, because they're required to smile and say nice things to the customers. It's mandatory, because if they don't, they lose their job. Where other places, they don't care how you treat people. I mean, they do to a point. But sometimes just being nice to somebody goes a long ways. And saying thank you goes a long ways. And so next time, if you see somebody coming, keep the door open. Next time, you know, we were at the mall on Wednesday, and I held open this door. Going into the mall, there's two sets of doors into the food court. I held open the door for this young couple, and they go, thank you, thank you. And so I went behind them. They didn't open the door for me. I'm like, hey, come back here. Hold the door open for me. Be nice to me. I was just nice to you. And so the thing about it, just be nice. It says, let God direct your heart. Let him, see, because a lot of times our heart has stuff in it that needs to be out. And so the thing about it is that let him direct your heart. Let him guide your steps. Because the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Let him make your way straight. Because the love of God, the patience of Christ, I thank God that he's patient with me. I thank God my kids are patient with me. I thank God that my mom and dad was definitely patient with me. I thank God my wife's patient with me. You know something? You need to be patient with yourself too. If you mess up, forgive yourself and be patient. Say, at least I wasn't where I was a year ago. How awesome is that? Do you ever tell people, this is totally off the subject, like this is not spiritual or anything. You ever say, I haven't done this since last year? Like, I haven't celebrated the 4th of July all year. I haven't celebrated my birthday yet this year. You know? No, maybe it's just me. Sorry, guys. You're stuck. And so the thing about it, they have to have patience with my jokes.
And my morning meetings. And the things I do. But guess what? I have to be patient with them. Guess what? As much as you are patient with the person next to you, you also have to be patient with the person that cuts you off driving. You also have to be patient with those who are trying to drive you off the road when you're going down 14 and slick. Just tell them, hey, go on by. We'll see you in the ditch later.
And so, as we wrap up here, we're going to open the altars for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, I would love to have you come up and would love to pray for you, believe with you. But I think all I want to leave us with today, one is that we are blessed because we believe in what the Lord has said. What has he told you? He's going to be faithful. So I wanted to leave us with, no matter what, God is faithful. God is faithful. The world looks quite interesting already for 2026. I guarantee you, it's going to look a lot more interesting by the end of July. I'm just saying that. I have no insight. I'm not in the cabinets. All I know is what the Lord says. If you think it's interesting now, wait by the end of July. It'll be even more interesting. But God is faithful. Stay in his word. And I know what he said. When things get crazy, this place will be where people will come. Remember that? Back, I think, was it October when he preached? Back in October. Our guest speaker goes, said something along those lines. I'll try to pull it up. And God's faithful, y'all. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what 2025 ended with. Some of you got bad news in the family. Maybe not you, but extended family. But God's still faithful. God's still faithful. No matter what, God is faithful. And we get to believe that all year long. Let's pray. As Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you and exalt you. We thank you that you're a faithful God, mighty God. We thank you for what you've gotten done in our lives.